We are talking about Troy's response to Executive Order 203 on police reform. Just to recap, here in Troy on Thursday, the City Council unanimously approved the Police Reform and Reinvention Collaborative's draft report in its Finance Committee. But after pushback from the community, it is being amended before Thursday's City Council full vote on the report. On the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, we have been following the process, and today we have the opportunity to check back in with Renee Powell and hear from Starlita Smith about their participation in the PRRC and their reactions to the report. Welcome both of you to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you, EP.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So as I said, you sat on the Police Reform and Reinvention Collaborative. You heard from the community, and sometimes you shared your personal experiences. In the finance meeting last week, Mayor Madden was asked how the PRRC feels about the final report. He didn't really answer the question, so I wanted to invite you on to hear from you. As Black community members who sat on the PRRC, how do you feel about the report that has been put out?
Mayor Madden couldn't answer that question, I guess, from my perspective, because there was no interaction after the draft or the final piece of the report was given before it was out there to the public. So he wouldn't know how we felt about that report. In reading the report, I struggled getting past the first couple of pages where there was a description or a history of policing in America, let alone the rest of the report that didn't contain enough content addressing the specifics to the Troy community, and especially policing practices that affect the Black and Brown community of Troy.
Starlita, do you want to add to that?
Agreed. It was almost written as if it was an annual report for the police department versus addressing our community's issues that we have surrounding systemic racism. So just unhappy, disgusted, appalling, and we just have to do better.
This executive order, flawed in many ways, as we all sort of acknowledge at this point, but at its core, it asks municipalities to address systemic racism and bias in the police department. We heard Troy Police Department Chief Brian Owens' failure to acknowledge systemic racism multiple times throughout this process. I'm curious how you react to this, and also what drove you to stay engaged in this police reform process after you heard his denial of systemic racism within the Troy Police Department?
When I first heard out of his mouth, I think I was in disbelief. Every institution in America is built on systemic racism. And for us to deny it, that just means that they are not willing to address it. And for that, we will continue to have two Troys. And we cannot sit back and say we want one Troy when we will try to erase the bare existence of Black and Brown and Indigenous people. When we refuse to put the language that was a blueprint from the governor of what we were addressing, trust, accountability, dignity, respect, like a lot of stuff goes out the window. And this was an opportunity for Troy to really do good, hard work. They did not rise to the occasion. This was the opportunity for them to extend an olive branch to the Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities. And they didn't do so. I decided to stay on this committee because I thought I was going to have a better voice to represent my community. I thought, you know, being a leader in Troy, that was my responsibility. Being a community member, it's my responsibility. Having Black sons, a husband, being a Black woman, it was my responsibility to represent myself, my family, and my community and have that voice that we did not have.
I'm in total agreement with Starlita just said. I stayed on the committee for pretty much the same reasons because I felt as though it was my duty as a member of the community. There's no way you can survive without being an optimistic person. And I thought there was hope to help shed a little light on the fact that there is systemic racism in America everywhere, and Troy is no exclusion. And that the denial, to me, was very evident that a lot of education is needed within that department with the chief and with the mayor. Now, whether or not they know it, that systemic racism is there and they're just denying it because of whatever reasons are convenient for them, that's a whole nother issue. But the fact is that there is systemic racism that needs to be dealt with. And serving on this committee, as Tarlita said, when I serve on a committee does work. In my understanding of a committee, you have discussions, you work together to come to a conclusion. In this process, this was not a committee. This was just a, I'll call it a show for lack of a better word. We were just there to have a presence on the screen. Our discussions took place there on the screen. There was no behind the scenes meetings, no collaborative in terms of the writing of the report, no input to that whatsoever, not even to comment. You know, draft came out. It was due to come out on the 15th. I didn't receive a copy until I believe the 17th, and the next day, less than 12 hours, really, I believe, it's out to the public. As a final report, I receive a draft, the public receives a final. The whole process was very discouraging, disappointing. A lot of the components, we talked about accountability, but the key and the top one at the list was trust. And right now, that has really been blown out of the water. Trust is earned, and whatever has been earned thus far, I think, has really been set back.
Thank you for that, Renee. Troy's process was quite delayed and you all didn't start meeting until February when the executive order came out in June. And, you know, I've interviewed people from Albany who sat on their committee, Saratoga Springs who sat on their committee, and they put in hours and hours in subcommittees to really work through some of these core issues in their city. So when you say that, you know, you were only there at these specific meetings, it shows in the report. And I'm wondering, do you know who wrote the report?
That's a good one.
When you find out, let us know. We don't know, but I know for me, I was very hopeful of a lot of amazing things that could come from this. And, you know, throughout this process, we kept hearing One Troy. And I'm jealous that we are not part of One Troy. You know, I want my community to be one. And that is not going to happen right now. But when we reform and reinvent, we have to tear down. And we cannot do those things when we're refusing to even grapple with the words systemic racism. We're not going to reinvent anything because I feel people like the way things are right now. So when it took almost 8 months for this to even to start, we weren't looking at reinventing anything. We were going to get this report done. It was a homework assignment. Nobody wanted to put real good, hard work into this from the powers that be. You can't wait till the 11th hour and then expect systemic change to happen when we've been fighting for systemic change for over 300 years. It's not going to happen.
Agreed. Going through this whole process, I was very hopeful that we would have some honest discussions, even sitting in the forums and listening to some of the discussion and going back and forth. Even though some of the conversations were a little uncomfortable, I thought that some progress was being made there. But, you know, when you look at the report, the end result, it was like that conversation never happened. I am concerned that, you know, now we're talking about rewriting this report. And again, we go back to the question you asked earlier, EP, who wrote the first report?
And I guess that's my last question to you all. This is supposedly being written or rewritten or amended before Thursday's final vote. What would be the essential change now? I mean, I believe the report doesn't even mention the Black community or systemic racism in it. And what do you want to see the city commit to moving forward? Like what could possibly, after seeing that report, you push for at this point?
And that's the question. What's going to make the difference?
What knowledge has been gained in this since the last report was issued? What did we come up with since then? Your community gave you actionable items that you could do. This is our community. We're not going anywhere. we have to work together and we have to re-envision that one Troy model that we keep hearing so much about. We can't say that we're inclusive, but yet we don't want to be inclusive. We can't say that we want trust, but we're not being trustworthy. We can't just keep saying that we want these things, but we're not even acknowledging Black, Brown, and Indigenous people in our community and the issues that we face every single day. I sat on this because even being harmed and traumatized throughout this process, it was worth it for my community. And then to get the final report, and this is what we got, come better, do better, acknowledge Black lives, acknowledge systemic racism.
Yeah, I want to add on to that. You know, going through this process, I too was very hopeful that, you know, we would have had a better outcome. And to me, it's very clear and evident that we cannot leave it to ourselves to manage and expose and do better with whatever ugliness we find within our community. I think it's time to bring in a third party, to have a true evaluation, a true audit of what is really happening, and share that information with the public. At this point, anything else that comes out of it, we already know that the trust is gone. We're not going to believe it. And if we can't have a trust there, the relationship basically can't exist, not in a healthy way to move forward. As Starletta said, you know, we have to do better. We know better, thus we must do better. Just for the very fact that we're sitting here talking about how this report came out demonstrates this is basic textbook stuff. We've had textbook tokenism going on here, textbook disenfranchisement, textbook systemic racism. Here we are. We had a good process laid out. If you look at it on paper, it was a process considering the timeline we were working with. But then when you put it in the hands of individuals who have their biases, and when you use your biases in certain ways that oppress or disenfranchise people, then we come up with a bad situation. And that's where we are today. Here we are again, rewriting the report. Now my questions are, who wrote the first report? Who's writing the second report? I haven't gotten a call about it. I've sat on the collaborative committee and I don't know anything about these meetings other than what I'm hearing through social media or, you know, and people who are outside and being involved that did not sit on the committee. The communication is poor. There's a lot of work to be done. And we can't do it by ourselves. We've proven that we are not ready to do the work by ourselves. We need help.